the Big and Bright Podcast. Once again, it's your boy Big and Bright hitting y'all with the ones and twos. Hey, special shout out, man. We have a special guest in the house tonight. Ill Will from the Three Kings, ladies and gentlemen. Give it a round of applause and show him your love.
What's popping? What's popping?
What up, Will?
What's up, Will, man? It's good to have you over here, man. You know what I'm saying? Poppin'. Joining the Big and Bright, man. Being a part of our world. What's happening?
Yeah. What's happening? It's like the locks, man. It's like y'all, you Jada and Styles, and then I'm Chic. I got to hop in every now and then on the features.
Facts. Facts. We can rock with that, man. We had a crazy weekend, man. You know, just not just in college football, not just in NFL, but, man, we had some NBA action and preseason action, actually, and one of them, man, it was a preseason action that was going on with LiAngelo, the one out there. Okay. He was out there at hooping in the game, man, and hoisted up a damn air ball from three. He thought it was good too. I mean, he thought it was money, man. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, damn.
I didn't see it. Did he?
Yeah, oh, man. I was wondering if that could possibly hurt their stock, man. But not only that, man, what the hell is going on with the Spence and Crawford fight, man? It's like they didn't had it. They had something in the works. They pushed that back because they couldn't come to the contract negotiations and agreements on the rematch and everything else and the clause. It's a lot of stuff to get into. It's a lot of stuff to unpack, man. But thus, nonetheless, you're here with us this week, so that's what we're going to do. Jumping off, man. Bryce Young out there in Alabama. Will, I wanted to touch in with this with you and tap in, man. How do you feel the fact that he's going down and, you know, he's went down and possibly could lose some time, even in the fact of in the upcoming weeks? I mean, who do y'all got next week? I think some inferior squad, but after that, you got Tennessee and Ole Miss coming.
Hey, that's pretty much every team we play, man.
Hey, I don't know, man, but y'all got Tennessee and the likes of Tennessee and Ole Miss coming up, man. So
now we got
that's kind of big, especially without Bryce Young.
Texas A&M. 8-3-2 right now.
Yeah, well, you know, everybody gets up to play Alabama. You know how that goes. Yeah. So
heavy is the head that wears the crown. Yeah, then you got Tennessee. Yeah, Tennessee after that. Yeah.
But then y'all got Ole Miss.
That's that's Mississippi State. Later in the season, November 12th.
Woo!
Ole Miss. After LSU.
No, man.
Yeah, it started to get a little tough.
It may be down goes Bama. Y'all pray
for my downfall.
Oh, man. I'm just saying, though, as he went down, you know, I think they was up was it 28-10 or 28-0 or something like that?
Yeah, they started coming back, man.
Then as he went down, who's your backup that you brought in, the young fella? He's athletic, but he can't throw worth a damn. But he'll take off.
Yeah, I got to look up his name, man.
Yeah, I think he was
doing all right. His throwing.
Is it Meeks?
Yeah, I can't. It starts with M.
Meeks or Miz or something like that.
I got you. Let me get you.
Supposedly he's supposed to be pretty good, though.
Yeah, they say he was a four-star coming out of, I think it was Texas or something like that.
It was Milroe.
Milroe.
Yeah, he was 4-9. Had a passing touchdown. So, I mean, you know, he's just got thrown in the game, right? So, you know, this guy ain't been game planning. You know, we're going to get him some practice, get him some reps. And we'll see what happens. We'll see how long Bryce Young is out, man. But yeah, it does diminish what they can do. And I always say this, man. You got to play who on the field, but bro, you want to beat teams at their best. If you beat us without Bryce Young, what did you really do? What did you really do?
Nah, because again, we hear this time and time again that everybody say, oh, well, we just replenish. We just replenish. It's rinse, wash, repeat. We got five stars. We got five stars at every position. Not only do we have five stars at every position, but we have three, four, five.
Well, it's true.
Well, then prove it. You can't say it.
We've won like six national titles.
I give you that. But two of those national titles you shouldn't have been in.
We won them. Listen, we all Bears fans. If the Bears somehow were in the Super Bowl and won it, we wouldn't say, well, we shouldn't have won it.
But it's a big difference, though, in disparity because we don't have computers putting us in the Super Bowl. You had computers putting you in the national championship, even though you shouldn't have been there.
And we proved that we should have been there because we won them.
Well, I mean, you know.
But you okay? So
we won them.
So with that logic, Will, you can't say hey, if we beat you without Bryce Young, that it doesn't count because. And it's a photo that's on Twitter that goes around quite frequently, right? And it's got Jalen Hurts,
yep.
It's got Tua in it, and it's got Mac Jones, and they all stand there like, you know, made men type thing, right?
Well, they are.
So you know what I mean? I'm just saying. So if that's
hey, we still a machine. I ain't making no excuses. We still a machine.
Okay.
Bama's still a machine. Okay. It's still a machine. You know, and Bryce Young, I don't think he's gonna be out forever. So you know, have your fun while you can. Maybe. Maybe. Hey, man, I've been a Bama fan for a long time. It wasn't always gravy, man. I was a fan since the Gene Stallings era, right? So we had a rough patch.
The years we
got saved.
Yeah, Gene Stallings.
And then it was dudes just coming through.
What was it, Bowden? What was Shuler. It, Bowden, that was down there?
Shuler.
Shuler, that's what it was.
Yeah. So we had our rough patches, man. Yeah. We had the sanctions. You know, you couldn't get recruits, and then but that's the point, man. You stay loyal to your squad,
right?
Yeah. And then you know, you hope one day they pay off. You know, it pays off for you because it came in hot with the '92 team. That was like one of the first years I watched Bama when they beat Miami.
Yep.
And then it was downhill.
Yeah, that's when all the sanctions came in. That's when the NCAA stepped in, and they just found out different ways to cheat. You know, it's not a violation if you have boosters. Boosters that own car dealerships and everything else pay these brothers instead of the coaching staff and administrative staff.
You have you play college ball.
Yeah. You get that envelope. You know what I'm saying?
Come on now.
You get that envelope in the sport jacket.
You know how I go. When you get back from the game.
Hey, right. Remember when Derrick Rose got popped? He lost the national championship and he got popped driving like a Range Rover.
Doing
he knew he was going to the league anyway. Like, man, look, I'm the number one pick. I'm not finna stay here for this. Peace. You know, a lot of cats, they stopped going to school. You know, them one and dones. Like after the first semester, they stay all the way up until December. Then after that, January through March, they not going to class. Cause I'm like, man, I'm going to the league. I'm not staying for this. So it is what it is. You know, moving on in college football, man. Pretty much the top four is still remaining the top four, but the shocker of the week was number one dropping down to number two and really getting tested by Missouri, man. What is going on there in Georgia land?
Yeah, man, it's crazy. You know, they got tested or whatever. Georgia is, you know, they're a tough team. They're tough. They're not the same as they were last year, though.
Vulnerable.
Huh?
They were proven to be very vulnerable. I mean, it took them all four quarters to make their comeback.
Kind of heavy is the head that wears the crown.
No longer
the hunter, you're the hunted.
You're going to get everybody's best shot.
Man. Yes.
You know what I mean? Everybody's best shot. They're coming for you every single week. So it's a different dynamic because teams that you normally would beat down, all of a sudden they get up a little bit more. They got a little bit more incentive to try to make a name for themselves, you know. So, you know, it is what it is. I think Georgia will rebound pretty well from it. You know, you got games like that, you know.
Yeah. There will be days like this. Funny thing about it also is the fact that Kentucky is finding out that with them being ranked in the top 10, it was just recently knocked off this week by Ole Miss. But they're going to get everybody's best shot. And that was a hell of a game, Kentucky and Ole Miss. That was a hell of a game. So, I mean, rounding out the top 25, it really was no shockers there, you know.
Tennessee is good too, man.
I think number eight in the country.
You know, Alabama's going to have a tough time with them, I believe.
And I think Tennessee has one of the top offenses in the country too, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Where
did their quarterback come from?
He was a transfer.
Like, wasn't he a transfer from like Auburn or something?
I think so.
He was solid.
I forgot. Yeah.
He's definitely solid. He's definitely solid. I can definitely give him that.
I peeped him by looking up when I was looking up Bayless because I ain't paying him. I don't pay attention to Tennessee. But I was like, oh,
Virginia Tech. He's a transfer from Virginia Tech.
Yeah, there you go. V-10. There you go. I knew he was a transfer.
Yeah.
I didn't know from where. But I was like, yeah, he tight.
Yeah, man. It just goes to show what, you know, quarterbacks who really wouldn't have made a name or a splash for themselves at, you know, one big school can go to another big school and be everything that they needed to put them over the top. That's just crazy.
You see that in USC.
Exactly, in the transfer portal. The transfer portal has actually made college football better, in my opinion. Everybody wants to knock the transfer portal, but the transfer portal is pretty much creating parity in college football.
Yeah, I think it's cool because in most cases it allows those guys to get on the field right away. They don't have to sit a whole year out. Before, they would have to sit a whole year out and then go somewhere else. And, you know, it kind of dampens what they want to do. So it allows them to continue working and things like that and being around a team and honing their skills, you know, for the next level if they're able to make it to that point, instead of taking a full year off and sitting at home and trying to stay in shape and things like that. So I think the transfer portal in that regard has done wonders.
Absolutely. You know, and it's creating a lot of parity. It's bringing a lot of those traditional schools back up to the know, like Tennessee, like Ole Miss. You know, it's doing wonders for Kentucky. It's doing good for these schools, you know what I'm saying, that otherwise would be getting smoked like they usually be getting smoked every Saturday when they step on the field. So
it helped LSU win the national title.
Absolutely.
Joe Burrow was riding on the bench behind Dwayne Haskins, and he goes down there and he saved his career. Now look at, you know, he went to a Super Bowl. Won a national title, went to the Super Bowl.
That's great that you brought that up, because it seems like after he did the transfer portal ordeal, it seemed like it got popular right after Joe Burrow did it. You know, I think it was instituted a year before he decided to transfer or whatever, and you really didn't hear about it like that. But now, especially in college basketball, I mean, that transfer portal was crazy. It's a lot of high school kids not getting recruited. You know, not getting recruited because of the transfer portal. That's the backside of things too.
They doing away with that on the basketball side. They doing away with that one and done program. Yeah. They doing that, you know, where they're going to open it back up for, you know, guys fresh out of high school
to jump right into
the pros. Yeah, I think so too, man. Yeah. I mean, what's the sense, man? You can go fight for your country. You can smoke cigarettes. You can buy cigarettes, but you can't play ball. You know what I mean? It just doesn't make sense.
And you can't drink either. Ain't that crazy?
Yeah.
You can hold an AR-15 and go snipe somebody.
Yeah, yeah.
You drink in Europe, not in America.
Yeah. Right. So.
Yeah, but like if you graduate high school, you can go work. Mm-hmm. And see what made them flip that is you got to remember it was the overseas thing. It was Brandon Jenkins, Jacob Jenkins, right?
I remember
that. He's like, I ain't going to college. Yeah. I don't want to go to college. I play ball. And he went overseas and played and then just came to the NBA.
Yeah, Brandon Jenkins. Yeah.
Jennings, yeah. And he found a loophole in that. That's why you starting to see him. Because it's like, dude, if I'm so good to play basketball, why the hell would I go to college?
Right.
I'm a professional basketball player. I'm going to go to Italy, you know, and get my game up and then come to the NBA. Now I'm an NBA player. So, you know.
And what does 1 year really do? You know what I mean?
Nothing.
And in the NBA.
Help college.
You know, right. I can see why they have it helps the colleges. But I can see why they have it in professional football. That's a more physical sport. And you really have to develop your body, right, in order to withstand getting punched and beat up and hit and tackled by grown men. So it's a different dynamic in that regard. But basketball, it's more of a finesse sport. It's not as physical. You know what I mean? It can be physical for the big men down there sometimes, but for the most part, it's more of a finesse sport. So you don't have to have that, you know, man body in order to do well. More than likely, the younger you are in basketball, the more athletic you are, and the more capabilities you have on the basketball court. So
that's a fact.
Yeah.
That's a fact. Also, just transitioning from college, man, this is one of the into the NFL. Just what everyone wants to talk about, and we definitely wanted to touch up on, which was the Tua Tagovailoa situation and what happened in him. You know, as again, you know, those who've seen the clips of him being slammed to the ground and in the back of his head hitting, bouncing off of the turf. And then the lasting images that we remember is Tua in a fencing position, you know, and his fingers all twisted and going every which way, you know, as he was trying to regain his senses and his motion to try to get his motor skills upright. I have my opinions on it. I'm going to speak on that after everyone else speaks. But whoever wants to take over, more than welcome to.
I'll let the Gus go first. You can go ahead, Will.
It's crazy, man, because we know, because I was watching that game last week, because they just played like 4 days ago, right? And he kind of got up and he was like stumbling and they were holding him up and said it was his back. So they knew this guy was messed up. And you know, they are using players' emotion. They want to play. They want to prove that they're tough and throwing them back out there. And how old is Tua? Tua's like 24, 25. Yep. He's a young man, right? He's like, yeah, I could play, coach. Put me back in the game. We all did it, right, when he shouldn't have. They should have said, the organization, dude, you're going to sit this week out. You're going to sit this week out. So throwing them back out there, to me, was malpractice. I know they're going to say, well, he wanted to play. But sometimes, dude, you got a 25-year-old young man. You got to make the right decision for that young man. You got Teddy Bridgewater. This man has started games in the NFL. Start Teddy. Prepare Teddy. But no, they wanted to throw two out there. Now look at him, dude. He's suing. He might sue the team, which I think is good. His father, you know, is going to sue the team. He should do it. And the NFL like tries to play like they care about concussions and they care about player safety. Then they pull some shit like this. You know, you're contradicting yourself. You know, pick a lane. If you care about player safety, then care about player safety. You know, and I understand sometimes fans and people won't just want to win. I'm a Bears fan. If this happened to Justin Fields, I would want him to sit out, right? And we just roll with Trevor Simeon. We take a L, we take a L. Because I care more about his long-term health than a short-term game of a game that I may or may not remember on Sunday, you know?
Yeah. You know, I view it the same way, man. You know, you look at the situation and what he had going on that Sunday game. He got hit, he fell down, got up, stumbled, fell down again, got up, and then people had to hold him up. He had two linemen there that were basically essentially holding him up, like, okay, and stopped him from walking because he was still wobbling. So it's like, you know, everybody could see that. And where I fought the NFL is supposedly there are spotters throughout the stadium at different positions that are, you know, looking at the game for situations like that. And that was an egregious, like that was that was major. Like, everybody could see it because he's falling, he's stuck.
Yeah, he can walk.
Now, these spotters are trained supposedly to see things that most people are not looking at and don't see, right? Any type of anything. And something that's funny, they said that it was a back injury. But if you notice, after he got hit and he hopped up, after he got tackled, Tua did, and this is the Sunday night game, or not Sunday night, but Sunday game. After he got hit, he hopped up. When he first got up, if you look close, you see in the video, he does like this. He shakes his head. So if it was your back, why would you shake your head? Like, you know what I mean? Because I've done that. I've gotten my bell rung before, and I hopped up, and I'm like, man, you know, you shake it off, like, man, you know, or maybe your eyes are crossed, or you know what I mean? Whatever the case, you've had that happen before, and it's like, you know, you shake it off and try to snap back real quick, you know? And so that let me know that it was something, possibly a concussion right there. I didn't even have to see him fall and stumble, or stumble and then fall, to know that, hey, he wasn't right in his head at that point in time. Anytime you grab your head or you shaking, you know what I mean, things like that, that lends credence or gives evidence to a possible concussion. He should have been evaluated right away, you know, pulled from that game, actually. So, you know, it's you know, and then they tried to say it was a back injury or whatever, and, you know, I'm sure he probably said that because technically earlier in the first quarter, I believe it was, he did have a back injury in the game. So, you know, he probably tried to lean on that because he didn't want to go into concussion protocol because he knew he probably had one. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And these are athletes. These are pro athletes. And let's be real. The knock on Tua has been his health, right? Is he tough enough? Is he strong enough? Will his body withstand this? So if you go into concussion protocol, you know what I mean? Guys don't want to. You know what I mean?
And he's playing well.
Yeah, and he's playing well. You don't want to stop that. When you're, you know, three games in and 975 yards passing through the air, you got dynamic wide receivers. It's like, man, I don't want to slow this down. You know, we're creatures of habit. You know, many sports guys are you know, they don't want to slow down at all. They don't want to stop because they feel like if you slow down at all, then all that momentum goes away. And it's true. Sometimes it does happen. So the team was obligated to save him from himself at that point. They did not do that. The spotters, I'm not sure what they were looking at because the world saw it. It was on national television.
It was pretty bad. He was stumbling.
You know what I'm saying?
You don't stumble like that unless you're drunk.
Overlooked that, they should have been calling right away, like, hey, get him off the field. I don't care, you know, back injury or not, get him off the field right now. He need to go through the concussion protocol. So
what's crazy about that whole ordeal is, again, those that were in the know, those that were on the team, everyone said there's no way he should have played Thursday. However, he cleared concussion protocol that Sunday. How?
Well, he wasn't. They didn't even put him in concussion protocol.
Right.
He didn't have a concussion, from what they said.
He
didn't even have to clear it.
Right. So, and again, we all saw it. He has a concussion. We all seen it. So after the aftermath on what happened on Thursday night, then the NFL got to scrambling to change up their protocol, because again, like they say, oh no, it was a back and it was an ankle. Then why are you scrambling to change up your procedures? Because you know you're about to get sued. You know that, and you know you have to change up whatever you have in place now. Not only. And that's, to me, that's more damaging in the NFL admitting to wrongdoing on how they went about it, right? Not only that, they fired the independent doctor who allegedly was supposed to be looking after Tua after the Buffalo Bills game. Well, why did you fire him? Because again, this was a back and ankle injury, not a concussion. According to what the Miami Dolphins are saying. Which brings me back to, if the Miami Dolphins are really covering this up, right, about it saying that it was a back and an ankle, remember Brian Flores and what he was saying at the beginning of the year, you know, when he dropped a bombshell about, you know, Stephen Ross and all these cats, you know, doing whatever they was doing to, you know, I'll pay you extra money if you lose games, and, you know, sabotaging for a better draft position. And, you know, putting players on IR, hiding medical reports, everything else, right, that he was stating that was going on. And the funny thing about it is that when the NFL, quote unquote, did its investigation, they concluded that nothing Brian Flores was saying was accurate, right? And this was all made up. But what they did find was that they violated some minor rules and decided to suspend the owner, Stephen Ross, just for a little bit. If I'm Brian Flores, I'm reopening my case right now, today. Because again, you hit a whole concussion in front of the whole world that was watching football. You hit it and said it was a back and an ankle injury. So if you're willing to hide that right after we seeing with our own two eyes, what else are you willing to hide? What else are you willing to cover up? And as the NFL commissioner and Roger Goodell, we understand that you work for these owners.
I was going to say, yep.
We understand that you work for these owners, but on the forefront, Brian Flores has a case here. Not only does he have a case, but Tua Tagovailoa and his family has a serious case against not only just the Miami Dolphins, but also the NFL as well. Because if the Miami Dolphins put him out there to play, okay, that's their own negligence. But the NFL as a whole should have stepped in, plus the NFL Players Union and Association should have stepped in and said, no, he's not playing. We seen what happened Sunday. There's no way he should be taking the field today.
Here's my question too, is like, you mentioned the independent neurologist got fired, right? Mm-hmm. And he's the independent guy who works the sidelines, and he's supposed to be, you know, he has no vested interest in either or situation.
So they say.
And that's cool, right? But my question is also for the training staff and the medical team for the Miami Dolphins, right? At the end of the day, they may be employed by the Miami Dolphins and their organization, but at the end of the day, don't they have, you know, what is it called? I forgot what it's called.
Fiduciary responsibility.
Yeah, some type of responsibility.
They take an oath, right? Yeah.
With regard to their health, right?
Yeah. Oh, Hippocratic oath.
Hippocratic oath.
Hippocratical.
So, if I say hypocritical.
Yeah, Hippocratical. Yeah, Hippocratical.
So don't they have that they should have to adhere to? And if you're negligent in any way, shape, or form, it doesn't matter who you're employed by, your responsibility as a doctor is to provide the best care possible for an individual, right?
Absolutely.
So when you overlook it or you turn a blind eye to it, that's negligent. How come nobody from the Miami staff is being criticized or fired even or anything else? But we, you know, now the independent one, we're going to let him go right away. But what about these other people? Because they are also involved in the situation and they also take a look at that player as well, you know, for concussions. So, you know, I don't think they're going to be able to get away with just firing the independent person, scapegoating him. That's what that is. That's a scapegoat move.
Yeah. Right? Oh, yeah. More people and should be fired.
More individuals, especially that training staff, the medical staff of the Miami Dolphins, they definitely need to be, you know, everybody that had any type of conversation there should be gone, to be honest with you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting how our Tua pushes it. Tua and his family, because he's in the crazy position, right? Because he's under contract.
Yeah.
He basically wants to get paid. The Miami Dolphins still control his future. What is it, year three? So he still has next year and then a fifth year option before he even can.
And then
so that's going to be that. That's going to be
the trigger. If you do, you know, sue the team, you have to deal with your contract situation now. But going forward, there aren't many teams that are willing to, okay, come on in here. We know you sued somebody else.
Exactly.
Like, you know, because these ownership groups,
exactly.
Right? They're like it's like a club. So they're going to protect their own before they venture anywhere far, you know, to protect somebody else. So, you know, that he's between a rock and a hard place in that regard.
In that regard, yes. But also, if I was him, I have to look out for me. And I'm going to sue because I know when my contract comes up, you're going to look at these concussions as a risk and not signing me long term and not signing me to a starting quarterback job and major starting quarterback money. So I have to get my money now. I'm like the J.G. Wentworth commercial, baby. It's my money and I want it now.
My money and I want it now. You know what happened, though? I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. NFL is a machine that prints money. It's going to be some backdoor deal.
Gotta be.
Somebody's going to get an envelope or a briefcase or a cashier's check, and then it'll all go away.
It's going to have to because again,
somebody's going
to
get paid.
Who's going to sign a severely concussed quarterback? With you
Somebody
know,
will.
At this point, it ain't got so bad, you know, right now with that fencing response after he was slammed to the ground. You got doctors saying like, yo, another one could possibly kill him.
Well, two in 1 week can kill you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Two in 1 week can kill you. I mean, and we've all been in a situation where we've had a concussion before, right?
Right.
I know I have.
Right.
And I remember when I had one. Now, I went about the rest of the day and conducted myself a couple of days, Friday, Saturday. Sunday, I woke up. And I was at my grandmother's house sleeping on the couch.
Yeah, pound.
And I don't remember anything that happened from Friday all the way until that point at 9 o'clock on Sunday night. And I had no clue football. I had no clue about who won the game. I had no clue about anything. And I didn't know what I had done for 3 days. So, you know, it's just a weird situation. These things, you know, we don't know what the long-term effect. And then they say when you have a concussion, you can have them more frequently and it takes less to actually, you know, in, to have one. Like a softer blow will give you one faster now. So, yeah, you know.
That's the brain touching the skull, man.
Yeah.
You know, the brain being shook to the point where it touches the skull. Man, that's scary. That's all the way scary.
Yeah, Tua is going to have to think about, like, even with the suing thing, does he want to continue to play football?
Right.
Is it worth it? Do you sue him, take your money, and go and live your life in you know, in Samoa and chill? Yeah. There's some serious questions need to be asked.
Hey, money go a long way in Samoa, baby. A couple hundred mil go a long way.
That's true.
Go a long way on that island.
And like you said, I mean, if he's due for $100 million contract, which is probably, you know, at least that, right?
Because he was leading the league in passing, touchdowns, everything else at the moment he got hurt.
Yeah. At least $100 million. If he continues on the course that he was on, it's at least $100 million. So if you're suing for $100-150 million.
Well, you know, the going rate right now is what? Going rate right now is probably about $40 million a year, $40 to $45 million a year for a starting quarterback.
Yeah, 45, 50, actually.
Right. So, and then you factor in the fact that we're talking about a multi-year deal. So we're talking about 4 to 5 years at 45
mil. But he probably wouldn't get as much, right? Because he ain't on a level of something like Mahomes or something like that. Right.
But he would at least get what Dak Prescott is getting.
Yeah, Russell Wilson got 5 years, 242.
Yeah.
But Russell got a Super Bowl, too, though.
Yeah.
But that's the market, too. So,
yeah.
You know, I mean, look at what Deshaun Watson got. No Super Bowl. No MVP.
Right. Out for 2 years.
You know what I'm saying? Because he like his glutes rubbed. So, you know.
I was going to say, wow.
You do glutes.
The allegations of having an R. Kelly type behavior.
Yeah, man. So, you know, aside from the Tua news, you know, sticking with the NFL and what was going on in NFL, I know Dan was perplexed with the treatment that Baker Mayfield is getting in Carolina. And I ain't even going to say no more. I'm just going to let you speak on that.
Yeah, I just feel like, you know, it's like entities, you know, and the organization, the NFL itself, sometimes in my opinion, the media, a lot of people just want him to be good. They want him to be successful.
Don't force a motherfucker to be good.
Yeah, they gonna force it, right? And it's like this dude was given everything, in my opinion, in Cleveland. You know, I talk and I've talked about, you know, Justin Herbert and you know, kid in Cincinnati, all these guys that have Joe Burrow, these guys have wonderful assets and talents around them in wide receivers, running backs. Baker Mayfield had all of that in Cleveland. He had the defense, you know what I mean? That could get
offensive line.
He had the offensive line. He had two-headed beast at running back, right? That every year, top of the league in rushing, you know what I mean? You had Odell Beckham, you had Jarvis Landry, you had David Njoku, you had Austin Hooper, you had all these, you had everything that you would need to be successful.
He had some weapons.
You ran through three coaches there: Kitchens, Hugh Jackson, and what's
Stefanski's over there now.
Yeah, Stefanski. So you ran through three coaches. Now you're in Carolina, and once again, you're still in a pretty decent situation because you got Christian McCaffrey. You got Chuba Hubbard, who's there as well. You got DJ Moore, right? You got Robbie Anderson. Got plenty of talent around you. Ian, what was the tight end's name? So you got plenty of talent around you still, and you're still not doing well, right? And what does the media do? What do people do? Even the coaching staff. Right, Stefanski steps to the microphone and says, "Well, the wide receivers need to start."
No, that was Rule, Matt Rule.
Rule says, Matt Rule. "Yeah, not Stefanski." Rule says, "The wide receivers need to get open." And I'm like,
"Yeah, I can only imagine."
So then you got the media. Now you have the media.
The fuck? Just imagine that. Like, you standing there, like,
hey,
right?
You mailboxing like, dudes all day like this. And they're like, "You ain't getting open, like." Okay.
Right. You just stand there and he's like, yeah. And you're like, the wide receivers need to get open. You're like, the fuck? Like, we is getting open. What the fuck?
Did y'all see that DJ Moore?
When yeah.
They yeah, he like, stood there and thought about him.
They're
like,
coming to him and they're like, you know, what do you think about that? Do you think you need to? And he's like, he didn't know what to say. He's like,
exactly. You can't, you don't like, even know how to answer. Okay. Cause you don't want to go.
That's what people see, I guess. I don't.
He's like, I run a 4.2.
Like, what?
I'm always open.
That's what he said too. He said, "Hey, it doesn't matter if it's a yard or 5 yards or 6 yards, you know,
yeah,
the ball, you know,
open,
what I mean?
Open is open in the NFL."
Yeah,
isn't he up for a contract after this season?
Who is that, DJ Moore?
Yeah,
did I don't know. Sign? I don't know. I gotta take a look at it.
I'm gonna look.
But you, ooh,
I'm gonna look where y'all talking.
Could be a possible for the next show. That could be a plucking. That could be a plucking.
I see. But see, you know, and that's my thing with Baker Mayfield. I just feel like that's, you know. Why are we doing that? This guy is not that good. You know, it's been established that he's not that good. And you have guys trying to save face and trying to pump the gas and feed this BS. And in turn, you've thrown teammates and coaches and everything under the bus in order just for this guy to be okay. And I don't see it. I just don't get it. I don't see it. You got talking heads on TV every single day that go to bat for him and, oh, he's going to be the truth. He's going to be the guy. And it's similar to some Bears fans and how they view Trubisky. We got Bears fans that still think, even though Trubisky got benched in this previous game, that still think he's going to be a great quarterback in the NFL one day.
That's three
DJ
coaches.
Moore's, three he coaches. Got an extension. He had a 3-year extension. So okay. Unless he's willing to be traded.
He might be after that.
You never know. You never know. Don't forget, we got what's my man Roby and Carolina.
Yeah, Robbie Anderson.
Robbie Anderson. Yeah, when he told him, he was like, he don't want Baker Mayfield on his team.
Oh yeah.
Everybody, you know, everybody knows it. This is not.
He was contemplating retirement and shit.
Yeah, it's not a secret, man. This guy does not have it. So for them to keep pumping him, I just don't get it, man.
How the hell Sam Darnold win his spot by? He gets it. He's designated starting quarterback by not playing.
Who's that?
Sam Darnold. He's designated the start because they're waiting for him to get healthy. When he gets healthy, Baker's going to the bench.
I didn't hear that. I didn't hear that.
So, I mean, damn, if Baker's playing that bad.
Are you sure? I thought he was positive, bro. I thought he won this.
On ProFootballTalk.com, they're waiting for Baker Mayfield. I'm sorry, for Sam Darnold to get back healthy.
Wow. Well, I didn't know that. I didn't know that.
Baker's check down Charlie, man. That's why people don't like him.
Yeah.
He checks the ball down. He don't push the ball down the field. It's just what he does.
That's a damn shame.
Yeah, Odell Beckham, Jarvis Landry, he's fucking throwing check now. That's why.
Yo. I've come to the conclusion after watching the game last night, right?
I know where you're about to go.
Yo. My man A-Rob is going through dress rehearsals and live football games, bro. Straight up. He's having a walkthrough in live football games. I wonder, and you see, hey, B. Parker, man, hey. Shout out B. Parker, man. That's A-Rob's agent out there. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to him, man. But, hey, he couldn't argue with me. He didn't even respond. But he couldn't, because usually he responds to something we put out there. But
he probably logged out.
Yeah, after Shannon Sharp made those comments, you can't say shit. What are you going to say to Shannon Sharp? He lying? Because, you know, B. Parker, he would debate and argue up and down. I'm like, B, he ain't getting no separation. B, he ain't getting open. B, what's up with your man? B. And then B would always come back with, oh, this, that, the third, or, oh, y'all too negative, and he just doesn't, oh, I can't wait. What was the tweet he had around this time last year?
16 more games, 17 more
yeah,
games.
Yeah, 15 yeah. more games and all that shit, right?
It's see the problem is that, like you said, he doesn't have that speed. You know what I mean? For A-Rob to be, you know,
Matthew Stafford's not even looking his way.
For him to have an impact on the team, he's a possession receiver.
Yeah, that's what he is.
So he has to make contested catches, and he also has to be the guy that moves the change. You know what I'm saying? You're not going downfield to him. So the Rams, they already have that possession guy. You know, you look at the game yesterday. A-Rob got 6 targets, and Cooper Kupp got 19.
See what I'm saying?
But he ain't got no speed either, though. And yeah, that's
at all.
No,
he's not bad.
But
he's
like bro, you know, and I get what you're saying, Nez. I get it. But let's be real. Let's not act like this ain't Stafford throwing him the ball.
Right.
And Stafford is known for honing in on one receiver, and I'm going to launch 20 balls his way every game.
Hey.
Because he did it in that Detroit with Calvin. Yeah. 4 years, and then when Calvin left, he did it with what's his name?
He did it with Golden Tate, and then after Golden Tate, he did it with Marvin Jones. Yeah.
So you know that's what he's known to do is to hone in on that one receiver. Now I'm not saying that's the reason A-Rob's numbers are down, because he has his problems. He has, you know, when you can't get open, you can't get the separation that you need to get. That's a huge problem, and when you can't get downfield in a hurry. That's a major problem as a wide receiver. You know, you're a one-trick pony moving the chains and making contested grabs, but Stafford doesn't like to put the ball in harm's way like that unless he has a dog like Calvin Johnson who he know is going to make that play. And let's be real, Allen Robinson hasn't made those plays. Like in Chicago, the 50-50 balls wasn't going his way
last year.
You see what I'm saying? So I don't have the confidence that you can continue. You know, you did that earlier in your career. But here we are, you know, we're a couple years removed from that Allen Robinson.
Yeah.
So at this point in time, you know, Stafford probably doesn't trust him as much, you know.
And this is without Van Jefferson being there because he's out hurt. This is without Van Jefferson, and this is also without Odell Beckham Jr., who many speculate will return to the Rams once he's healthy. Where does A-Rob find playing time if those two come back?
I just don't understand.
You're about to say something about OBJ.
I don't get where, you know what I mean? And that's been the talk of the town, right? That's been the talk of everybody. OBJ, you know, people want him to come to Chicago. People want him, all these
Green
different
Bay.
Teams are popping up.
Yeah.
And it's like, hold up. OBJ is coming off an ACL surgery. And what is he, 30 years
30.
old?
30.
30 years old, ACL surgery. Your body doesn't heal the way it used to. He tore his ACL in the Super Bowl. It's going to take him a minute, bro. He ain't going to do nothing for no team this year. I promise you that.
That's why I said. When people are like, he tore his ACL in the Super Bowl. Bro, it ain't even been 6 months.
Yeah.
If he was 22, I might be like,
He's 8 months removed.
8 months.
He'll get back on the field this year, but he ain't gonna have that much of an impact.
Yeah. Remember when A-Rob came back?
It took him a whole year.
I mean, look at Chris Godwin and look at Michael Gallup right now. They're coming back,
but they're young.
They're still not who they were.
Right.
You know,
and they're
these are younger guys. These are, you know, 25-year-olds, 24.
Yeah.
So OBJ, I love OBJ, and I know the aura that, you know, the catch, you know, and all of that stuff. But bro, he ain't gonna be no impact on those.
Didn't he tear his ACL before?
This is the second one.
Yeah, second time.
It's the second one. So, yeah.
Hey, Derrick Rose is a freak show too, and then that shit took him
out.
Yeah,
yeah,
you know, tore his ACL, then his meniscus.
Yeah,
never the same. Yeah, you know, he's still a good player because you know the game, but I don't know, man. Like ACL, second tear, you're 30 years old, and you're a player that relies on your athleticism because he ain't that big. He's 5'11". Mm-hmm. People think he's like 6'4". He's not. He's like 5'11".
Right.
That's tough. I'm glad he got a Super Bowl, though.
But right. He'll probably.
Yeah, he'll come back. Yeah, probably.
So who, after week four, we're heading into week five of the NFL season. Who is your most surprising team thus far?
For me, I'll say the team who we were kind of just talking about, the Miami Dolphins.
Okay.
I thought like Tua took a step to me. I know he just got hurt, but he took a big step to me because I thought they were going to be one of these teams that went out spinning big. And then just don't do nothing.
Right.
You know what I mean? Remember the Philadelphia Eagles when Vince Young said, we had a dream team. And then they went out later there.
Right, later.
Nnamdi Asamoah.
Yeah.
I thought they were going to pull a Eagles. And so I know they spent a lot of money and people are like, well, you should have. No, I still thought they weren't going to do anything. you know, even being a Bama fan, I still had my doubts about Tua. And I love Alabama. I was like, man, I don't know. I know he got all these weapons. Tyreek Hill, why did the Kansas City Chiefs let him go? He must have lost his stuff. And I'm like, dude, they outside of that game they lost, they've been lights out, man.
I think the biggest surprise for me has been the Philadelphia Eagles. They're 4-0. I thought they would be a good team, and I thought they had a chance to challenge Dallas for the NFC East. But right now, they're playing really good football, and they're playing not only good on offense, but on defense as well. Mm. I mean, you know, they went and they held the Vikings to 7 points. They beat them, you know what I mean, in week two, 24-7. You know, they beat the Lions. The Lions have a potent offense, but they beat the Lions. They beat the Commanders, and then they beat the Jaguars. So it's not like they're, you know, I look at the talent that they're, I mean, you know, the teams that they're going up against, of course. But anytime you start 4-0, you're off to a good start. You're playing well offensively and defensively. You slow down the Jaguars, who were putting up some numbers before. The Vikings, like I said, they got a potent, you know, Justin Jefferson and Dalvin Cook and all of them dudes and Thielen. You know, when you're able to do that, and then you got Jalen Hurts, who's balling, who's making the right decisions on the football field, along with A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith that are putting in numbers. You know, you got to give them credit for what they've done. So I think they've stood out. They've been a surprise to me. I didn't think they would be 4-0 at this point. I thought they would have probably been like 2-2. So that's my surprise team right now. They're the only undefeated team in the league right now, I think.
Right.
Two Alabama boys right there, baby.
Man, I knew that was coming.
My most surprising team up to this point has to be the Dallas Cowboys. Surprising. Especially after Cooper Dak Rush, went baby. Out and went down with an injury. I figured they would have went into the shitter, literally. The fact that they're sitting 3-1 right now and keeping up pace with the Philadelphia Eagles in the NFC East by just simply running the football, playing good defense and running the football. Hint, hint.
I'm glad you said that, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's not the narrative that's being pushed.
Yeah. Yeah, because they're trying to make it seem like
this Cooper Kupp.
Yeah, has Cooper been Rush
playing better than yeah Cooper
yeah.
Rush.
Oh
Cooper
yeah, they're Rush. Playing better
Cooper
than
Rush
Dak.
Is he better you know, than
I heard,
Dak?
I heard today. Like,
no,
matter of fact,
he's not.
Is there a quarterback controversy?
And I heard that today. Cooper Rush has been playing better these last three games than Dak has been playing the
Stop
last
it.
Year.
Stop
he has 37
it.
Touchdowns and 10 interceptions, 4,500 yards. Last year, you're telling me that Cooper Rush is playing better than what he did.
See, that goes back. See, that's when we say this and we try not to do this. That's when it comes when we talk about the black quarterback thing. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Who the hell throws for 30, almost 40 touchdowns and 4,500 yards, only 10 picks? And then he's running for touchdowns, too.
Yeah.
And then you say he sucks or he's overrated.
Yeah.
It's
who,
crazy.
What planet, bro, are we on? Like, do they hear themselves?
Planet of the Apes.
We talking about Cooper Rush, who's an undrafted free agent quarterback. Wasn't even good enough to be drafted. And yeah.
It's
crazy.
I think moving forward, when Dak comes back, this should be the game plan with him moving forward. Run the damn ball, play defense, and then, you know, you don't have to be pass, trying to get the most out of your $40 million quarterback. Rely on Ezekiel Elliott, you know? Cause, I mean, Zeke and who's the second guy?
Pollard.
Yeah. Rely on them, all right, to get it done in the run game. Rely on that defense. That defense is stout.
Yeah.
That Cowboys defense is stout, you know? Micah Parsons. You got Diggs.
Lawrence.
You know, you
Lawrence
got
hurt,
Diggs.
Didn't he?
Yeah.
Who?
Lawrence.
DeMarcus.
Yeah, DeMarcus Lawrence. Lawrence. They loaded, man. They got a solid defense. You know what I'm saying? You got what's his name? Van Borsch? Van Bosch?
Van Der Esch.
Yeah.
Van Der Esch.
With that big-ass cowboy collar. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
He's old school with that cowboy collar.
Right. Like, man.
That's old school.
I think he's the only one that wear a neck roll in the league still.
Yeah.
Man, I'll be forgetting how young that dude is. Y'all know he's only like 24?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because yeah, I wanted the Bears to possibly sign him.
Didn't he go to Boise State?
Yeah.
You know, the last person, well, when they drafted him, the first thing I thought of was Shea McClellan.
Shea McClellan, dude. Yeah, that numbers are off the fucking chain, dude. He was 11-5 last year.
Yeah.
Right.
And threw, so it's not like he was just throwing up empty stats. He threw for 4,500 yards and almost 40 touchdowns.
Hey. That's $1 million a touchdown, folks. $40 million a year.
68%, almost 70% completion percentage.
Look.
And dude, I swear to God, I heard people say he's overrated.
What?
Like, y'all on where? That. Y'all on that good though. You throw that many touchdowns and you 11-5. Oh my God, bro.
But pull up what's my man in Buffalo? Pull up his numbers.
Josh Allen.
Pull up his numbers.
His numbers are comparable.
Comparable. But yet y'all want to talk about is Josh Allen the best quarterback in the NFL and then shit on Dak, right?
Yeah, he had 44, 63, so he was 5 points below Dak in completion percentage. He threw 36 touchdowns. Dak threw 37. He had 5 more picks than Dak. And, of course, he ran the ball more than Dak. Dak ain't been running since he fucked up his ankle.
But this is a person that they're saying is the best quarterback in the league. And then when it comes to Dak
Prescott.
They
want to anoint him. Pat Mahomes still the best quarterback in the NFL.
Exactly.
They always want to appoint.
But you get
You know why.
Point.
Come on. Yeah. That's the point. As soon as I saw that name, like Joe Burrow. And I'm like, y'all just looking for somebody right now.
Prisoners of the moment.
Y'all looking for somebody right now. Nobody misses Lamar Jackson.
Prisoners of the moment.
Always skip over him. We know why.
Oh, yeah.
That's another cat.
He got to beg for his money. It's only a couple quarterbacks that had to do it.
Dak and him.
Why?
Yeah.
But see, and this is what frustrates me, because there's a lot of people that don't believe that exists, that skin tone
never happened to
plays
him.
A part. And you even have, I know of black people that's like, oh, that's not true. And I was like, what are you watching that, you know what I mean? What are you seeing that I don't see? Dak had to beg for his money. He had to play on a franchise tag. He actually did, and got injured on a franchise tag just to get paid. And let's not get it twisted. You want to say he's overpaid? He's getting paid $40 million, but it's six quarterbacks that have gone past him already, and they wanted Dak. They wanted Dak to take $35 million, $3 million less than what the franchise tag was. He played on the franchise tag of $38 million. They wanted him to take $35 million per year. Who does that? Who gives away money? Yeah, I keep the $3 million. I take $35 million and play on that. Come on, like, who does that? Why would you do that?
Kyler had to fight for his money too. People forget about that. He signed his deal, but he had to scrub his Instagram account.
Yep.
I might play baseball.
Yep.
It's a running theme. It's sad. It's really sad. It's really sad.
Well, they better get used to it, because ain't no more Blonkies coming out. Not worth a damn playing quarterback.
They had that graphic where they showed it was like Bryce Young, it was like CJ Stroud, it was the dude from UCLA.
Mm-hmm. That kid is cold.
Hit him with that step back, and then them players hit each other. Yep. Walked in the end zone.
It's all brothers. So I mean.
It was coming, and so that's why, unfortunately, that's why you get people that push that narrative so hard, because they see the tidal wave coming.
Let me tell you. I was scrolling through Twitter, right? But we're going to get into the bootios in a second, but I was scrolling through Twitter, and as I'm scrolling through Twitter, I seen a tweet where somebody was saying, after this season, the Bears need to draft another quarterback to put pressure on Justin Fields. Yeah. What? What? Wait.
Sam Mustard for putting enough pressure on him by not blocking nobody.
Tell me about it. But I'm like, wait. So you just want us to draft somebody to do what, actually?
To just be there.
To just be there. Because, again, it's like, I don't think any rookie coming in this year is going to be as far progressed as Justin Fields. So putting pressure. Doing what? Oh, he needs someone to look over his. He needs to look over his shoulder, and he needs to know that he could lose his spot. What? Are you listening to yourself?
Nah, they don't.
It's wild, crazy takes, man. Wild as crazy takes, but whatever. This is the segment where we go, off of shit like that, You know, we get into the bootiest of the booty, known as
the booty. Oh.
This is where we give the bootiest of the booty to the bootiest of the week to ensure that the next week they don't be booty. So, I'll lead it off. My first box of booty-os goes to none other than Sam, a.k.a. Must Bitch Must Defer. You deserve a huge heaping box of
the booty! Oh!
You weak bitch. I go on Twitter yesterday, and bro, I ain't at you not one time, right? All I did was point out when you fucked up. I'm looking at it like, damn, why Sam Mustard for blocking everybody? And I'm like, oh shit, I must be blocked too. So I go and check it out, and sure enough, blocked. I'm like, you tender dick ass motherfucker, I know you didn't. You are constantly getting ran through every Sunday like in high school bus down on a half day. And you want to get pissed off at me because I'm pointing out the obvious? Because you getting beat like you stole something? You getting whipped like you late for curfew? Are you serious right now, Sam Mustafer? If you that tender, you know, you should spend less time on Twitter and more time in the damn weight room and film room. Maybe you wouldn't be getting tossed like a salad in Rikers Island.
Damn.
Every time you snap the damn ball. So, yes, you deserve a huge heaping box of booty-os. Eat up.
Bro, Trent Dilfer did a breakdown and he was like, hey, I just gotta say something. The Bears center is getting abused. they are targeting him. They need to do something. He's like, he didn't even know who he was. He's like, I just gotta say that.
Bro, look, the Bears gotta do something, dog. I understand that people saying, like, you know, they scouring, but look, man. Look, it gotta be a backup somewhere on somebody roster, bro.
We got Peter Ireland on the practice squad.
It gotta be somebody somewhere.
You gotta be better.
Somewhere.
It's getting to the point, huh? Where
he's like Rashawn Coward.
Yeah, Doug, well, spit in the motherfucker eye. Do something. Stab him. I don't care what you do. Keep him off. Remember that one movie?
What was the last Boy Scout where he pulled out the gun on the football?
Yes, Doug. Do something. Bro, I wouldn't be shocked if Sam Mustard.
Get the strap.
Look, man, look. In a minute, Mustard, I'm about to tell you, go to the medicine cabinet, open the pill bottle, and eat the pills. Right now.
You know what pills you need to eat? Some steroids.
Some Balco. You need to go call Barry Bonds. You need to get some beefroids.
The cream that you
something.
Rub the cream on your booty.
Something. Go get some deer antler extract. Do something, bro.
Take them horse steroids that Trump was taking at that time.
Man. Inject it all in your ass. Just all in your ass. All right. Do something. Because you are killing me out there. Literally. Again, like I said, he getting tossed like a salad in Rikers Island. Like,
dang.
Straight up. Mm. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's gotta get better, man. And I was trying to hold it down for Sam, man, but it's some stuff that you can't even.
No,
I mean, it just is what it is.
Not everybody can be an NFL player.
It's on you, bro.
That's facts.
Ain't even a knock. Like, we couldn't play in the NFL. Like, if you put me out right now, you ask me to block somebody, I'm gonna get my ass blown up. At least I'll know it. And I'll be like, this ain't for me.
Look,
I'm gonna go take me an announcing job.
If they put me at least I'll take out a motherfucking kneecaps. Some fight. Wow, low blow. I might get flagged for a chop block, whatever. But damn it. Hey, he on the ground, right? That's what y'all wanted. So be it. I took out his knees, you know what I'm saying, or an ankle or something. Damn, like, dog. Really?
God.
Who else got a box?
Who got a box? You got a box, Will? You want me to go?
Yeah, I got a box. I got box to the Miami Dolphins organization.
The booty!
As a staff.
Oh!
As a staff, record label, and the click.
Oh.
Y'all already got my man Brian Flores unrightfully fired. Now you out here trying to kill my man Tua Tagovailoa, trying to give him CTE before he even fucking retires. You guys are a shit show. I know, where's Stephen Ross? He's on a boat somewhere fucking raping hookers. Like, you know, that needs to be an investigation on the Miami Dolphins as an organization. Like, again,
give them the death penalty.
These dudes are transporting cocaine or something. I don't know what they're doing in those boats in Miami. You know, Miami Vice. I don't know what they're doing down in Miami, man. Where they getting all this money from anyway?
Hey, that's a good ass question. Like, where's all this money coming from?
Where's money coming from?
Them and the Rams. Like, the Rams just got an abundance of money, bro. Like, where the fuck?
Oh, the
money
Rams, bro.
From?
They got their ass kicked. They go, bro. When they crumble, that crumble is gonna be epic because they traded all their picks. When everybody's like, "No, YOLO." Yeah, and you go see what's his name? Sean McVay. He gonna slide his ass on up out of there right when it start crumbling. Those dudes gonna start getting old. They gonna have no draft picks to replace them. It's gonna be they will be the worst team in the NFL when that thing finally
for years.
So they better that one fucking championship they got. They gonna be horrible. So that's my box in the booty holes.
Let me see. I got a box too. I want to give out a box. Leaning on that same in that same vein, you might say, right? I'm going to give a box to the National Football League Players Association.
The booty.
You get a box of it. You get a box of the booty of booty holes because where were you at? We saw this guy get a concussion on Sunday, right? And Demoris Smith. And other people in that organization, they step
rubber lips.
Forward and say, yeah.
Rubber lips,
yeah. Somebody said he had Michelin tire for lips.
Yeah, that was a comment by John Gruden.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Rubber lips. That's what got him fired.
Looks like Michelin tires, man.
Foul, bro.
That's racist. But, no, it's not. But, I mean, shit, I'll tell you what it is.
But they get it. They get a box because what were you doing, right? And he stepped forward, and other people in that organization stepped forward and said, you know, we need to have this investigation done. So you had from Sunday, they did not put him in concussion protocol. They came out on Monday, said he's not going to be in concussion protocol. There's nothing wrong with him, and he will play on Thursday. We knew this on Monday. So from Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, how come you didn't get the investigation rolling before then? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then Thursday, all day Thursday too, because the game's not played until 8:20, right? 8:20 on the East, right? So for you guys to lay down and kind of just lay there and not really do anything, to me, that's a disservice to your players who you represent as the Players Association. You know, you get a box of the booty-os for that because I think that was sleeping at the wheel, in my opinion, because you should have had that ball rolling. Y'all should have been on it on Sunday, on Monday, on Tuesday. You should have been doing everything you can to get him from being able to play in that game on Thursday. You know what I'm saying? As the organization, there are things you can do. When I found out that on Thursday, the investigation still hadn't even begun, That's to me, that's egregious. That's a major problem. Y'all ain't doing your due diligence. You're not doing your job.
That's facts.
A lot of people pissed off and fucked up in that situation.
Straight up. Yeah, well, we'd like to thank Ill Will for coming out joining us on the Big and Bright Show, folks. You know what I'm saying? We gotta have you back sometime, man. That's for real.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
You know how?
This was fun.
Yeah, man. Give me your at, Will.
At 79 Ill Will on those Twitter streets, you know, you can catch me, you know.
Talking bodying somebody.
Body somebody. I had to body a few people today.
Yeah, they was definitely.
I had to body Jacob and Fonte today.
That's facts. They be asking for it, man. Hey, make sure y'all tune in to us every day, every week. We're going to try to get up our Big and Bright channel on YouTube. So also look for us on we'll probably be posting this episode on the Three Kings YouTube channel. So go over and check out the Three Kings YouTube as well. Of course, us three, the Three Kings, we'll go ahead and be dropping another episode coming out after the Vikings game. We already dropped our episode for this week. Make sure y'all go and check that out. Tune in to us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Y'all know my at. Y'all know Dan's at. We got Ill Will. On that note, go ahead and lead us out. Deuce and summer. Oh, there we go, baby. Where it go? All right, here we go. Go ahead and lead us out, Deuce or something.
Thanks for listening, everybody. See you next time.